Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus is there. He's there in that second. There's no dying for the believer. There's no death. You may go through the process of pain and suffering and sorrow or fear, whatever it is, but there's no death for the believer. There is that nanosecond of die, and then you see Jesus.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, Part 3 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 21. Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during an imprisonment in Rome. Before Paul's conversion to Christ and the gospel message, we need to remember who he really was and what he did. Even as a young man, Paul was given authority. He was a top student and a high achiever. He also had an intense personality. And being a Pharisee, he strongly persecuted those who were preaching Christ. But the very Jesus he opposed became his reason for living. Today, Pastor Jack reminds us why Paul was put into prison in the first place. It was for preaching the gospel. But even when Paul was in chains, he still shared Christ. Even though he was criticized, he still preached on God's grace. And even during the crisis of his affliction, Paul kept uplifting the name of Jesus. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We need to be careful that we obey God. And Paul was absolutely, he understood that so clearly. And he rejoiced. He says in Philippians 2:13, we'll have to look at that in the future, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God's at work in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So Christian, when he says, "I rejoice," the word is to have a calm, deep sense of happiness that Christ is being preached and that he's right in the middle of God's will. So as we looked at last week, we add to it again that as you follow Jesus, what happens is in the hands of God. Yes, walk in wisdom, walk in obedience, but you walk with him to glorify him. And he says in verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation," my intense anticipation, the word means my longing and hope, "that in nothing I shall be ashamed." Before we wrap this up, you guys, in nothing I shall be ashamed. This is an awesome statement. Please hear this. There is no way that you and I can live life and not have certain things affect us that would... how do I put this? That would add just to our welfare. So for example, if you have a job, you pay your bills and you maybe do even a better job and you get a raise or you get a new job and you're providing for your home and your kid wants tennis shoes and you can buy those and Christmas is coming and you've made enough money, you can even buy him a bicycle. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we go too far, and it's true about anything, when we go too far, and it's the I won't be happy until I have that thing. So now it's no longer existing or even being somewhat comfortable. Now it is, I'm not going to be happy until I own that guy's company, or I'm not going to be happy until I've got that thing under my control, or I'm not going to be happy. Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, you say, "Well, that's not me." But if it's consuming you, that is you. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not, your hard work is to be honored. I get that. But watch out for idols. We all deal with them. We all have them. I got busted just the other day regarding my idol. I have an amazing little idol. And I, you know, Amir was here, and I said, "Amir, I got to show you something." You come. In fact, remember Dr. Paul was here a few weeks ago? "Dr. Paul, I got to show you something. Come on into the to the garage where my floors are waxed, you know, so this thing can live there in happiness. You say, what is it? Are you sitting down? It's a 1967, 100% perfectly restored Volkswagen Bug that I've had since I was 21. Okay? It's perfect. And my truck was in the shop, and Lisa needed something from the store, and she said, you need to just go, you take your little car, go get that thing. She don't care about that. And my first thought in my mind was, but somebody might park next to it. Now, I know none of you men have ever had that kind of a thought. But that's an idol. And then I had, listen, the whole time I was so tense, I'm thinking, gosh, where am I going to park? Because seriously, someone's going to open their door on it. There's not one dent on it. And you know, I know how God works. Gabriel would pull up in a dump truck and not open the door, you know. So I'm sure something's going to happen. You say, well, that's cute. No, that's not cute, because God is saying, listen, give it up. We need to be very, very careful, because there are things that get attached to our hearts, you guys, and it can determine how we view ourselves. If we lose all of our money, are we ashamed? If we lose face, what if our reputation's attacked? Are we ashamed? How about this? What if you and I do good all of our lives and we come to the end of our lives and all the stuff that we did very nicely, which was fine in this world, yet at the moment of death is never translated. It can't be sent over on the other side. It's done. You understand that? It's done. Listen, if I die, my little car is probably going to go to the metal factory or something. Who cares about it? But what about you? What about us? What about this thing? What about your collection? What about the other thing? What about the dollar? You say, what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. You can have all this stuff in the world. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he has the entire world, gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? How certain and sure are you that your soul is secure with Jesus Christ? Watch how we finish this. The third and final thing is the latter end of verse 20 and 21. Paul says, but with all boldness, see the word boldness, with outspokenness, it means public statements. Paul says, with all public statements, I never shy away from telling people about Jesus when given the opportunity, Paul is saying. Christ, will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. You can't say that about the stock market. You can't say that about your house. You can't say that about your ventures. Whatever it is, and I'm not knocking it, but it will not glorify Christ by life or by death. Are you with me? Only one thing. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's his motive. Some preach Christ to gain a following. Some to cause me grief. Some do religious things for self-aggrandizement and to have their names plastered on a billboard. Paul says, not me. Thank God some preach Christ because of love. Paul says, that's awesome. I'm in that group. But here's the deal. Paul reveals to us his motive. He said, here's the deal. It's all about Jesus and only Jesus. To the point, if I live or if I die, Christ, my motive is to be glorified in my body. That's how I live. That's what he's saying. That's my goal. That's my goal. That's Paul's existence is my goal. I've not gotten to that point. I asked God this morning on my face, Lord, do that in my life. I need that in my life. While Paul was in chains, Jesus was being made known. While Paul was being criticized, the gospel was being preached. While Paul was in this crisis, Jesus was being magnified in his body. And Paul says, yeah, well, what's left? Either life or death. You guys, again, he's under Nero. This could be the end for him. Could be. And the word magnified, we're honestly wrapping this up. The word magnified, it's a very cool word. By the way, did you see the moon last night or this morning? The word is to take like glass. In Paul's day, you would take glass and you could hold it up to the heavens. You could move it or toward the moon. Between you and the moon, you have this glass and you could move it in such a way and it will either magnify, distort, or make clear. Are you with me? We have telescopes today, right? They didn't have that. When you look at a telescope, does it change the size of the moon? Nope. But isn't it bigger to you? But it never changes size. How is that possible? Because on the other end of where you're at, there are devices, there are lenses that magnify what is. It just shows you what is. It takes your eye and takes it as though it was closer to that thing. That thing never changes. God is unchangeable. He always is. Paul is saying, if you're going to live your life, whether living or dying for Jesus, here's the cool thing. Every day you live like that, Jesus gets bigger in your view. Jesus is always the same. But as you approach him more and more, he takes up more and more of your line of sight. To be a relevant Christian is to have Jesus fill your lens, your viewfinder, your line of sight completely. In your thoughts, where you go, what you do, it's Jesus. In the lens, Jesus always. And when Paul says, in fact, look carefully in your Bibles, look very carefully, you'll see something there. To live, notice where it says to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Do you see any italicized words? You see is should be italicized in your Bible. If you have an actual Bible, not a translation or some rendering, the actual Bible, the word is not there in the original language. Here's what it reads. It's stronger. The translators put is there in English to help you understand it. It's kind of a tragedy. Watch this. Are you looking at verse 21? For to me to live, Christ demands a shout. And to die, gain. Do you hear him? To live, Christ. To die, gain. What does that mean? In this life, in this flesh, walking around here, Christ. Not bad, huh? To die, more of Christ. To die, even better. To die, yes. And the word die, it's not the word used for death process. I love all of you, but we're all dying right now. You look great, but you're dying. We're dying. That's not the word. It's not the process of death. Right now, if we were to get sick and if we were to be told we don't have much time, that's the valley of the shadow of death that we're going through during that whole thing. You know what's good news? This word die right here. That's good news. See, how come the word die be good news? Because here's the deal. It's not dying the death. It's when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, as it were, through your suffering, and you reach that moment. In fact, it's an amazing word. We don't even have it in English. We would have to say a nuclear or an atomic second. A nanosecond is too long. A nanosecond's too long. A nuclear second, it's still too long. What is it? The moment Paul is saying, I'm living for Jesus, and here's the thing, the very most minute possible bit of time, when that moment comes, it's Jesus. Amen. So in other words, you're dying. Oh, it's been 3 days now, and they're going, he's going to go any minute. It's like, well, hurry up. Right? I mean, when you're the one dying, it's like, come on, let's get this show on the road. I remember my mom saying, what's my mom's last words? Isn't it cool? My mom's last words are kind of a criticism, but it's kind of cute. I'm sure God can handle it. My mom said, what's taking him so long? Ah, that was her last words. How cool is that? It's that moment. It's that thing. And then death, Jesus is there. He's there in that second. There's no dying for the believer. There's no death. You may go through the process of pain and suffering and sorrow or fear, whatever it is, but there's no death for the believer. There is that nanosecond of die, and then you see Jesus. We saw this happen this last year. Guys, put the image up on the screen. We know it because we heard their voices. Now, if you're not familiar with this, I don't know what planet you've been living on, but seriously, if you're a Christian, you better get familiar with this. These are our brothers, the Coptic Egyptian Christians, right? Were they Egyptian or Lebanese? I don't remember. I think they were Egyptian. Doesn't matter. Great thing happened, which, by the way, you know what the CIA found out later on? It's kind of hilarious. If your God is so awesome, right? Did you see these guys in the black suits there? I'm pretty tall, huh? You got to look at some of the other photographs that they posted, ISIS posted. It's hilarious. They're marching these guys down the beach, and they got busted because CIA, reviewing the photos, they photoshopped themselves. They made themselves way taller than their victims. Why would you do that? Because when you don't have a God, that's what you have to do. You have to use Photoshop. You have to make yourself look big. It's all an act. So they got these Christians and they asked them, deny Jesus and you'll live. They wouldn't do it. So it's all on video. I don't know if you watched it or not, but it completely backfired on them. ISIS goes to post it, and it's all the audio was captured. They got it. It's audio. And then so they're doing it, and they're doing all this stuff, right? And they're saying all this stuff. And so these guys are saying in their language, Jesus, we love you. Lord, we trust you. Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus, don't hold this against them. Jesus, and some were singing, worship. And it was broadcast by ISIS all over the world. And Christians who live in Syria, and Christians who live in Algeria, and Libya, and Egypt, Christians who live in Iraq, they heard it. And they went, that's what I've seen. That's my Jesus. In the moment, listen, how do you know that? But in the moment, when they laid them down and pulled their heads back and begin to decapitate them, how do you know that if they did not see the very same thing Stephen saw when the rocks were flying? How do you not know that they saw the glory of God? There was no kicking, no screaming, no nothing. That minute was consumed in Jesus. It won't be your money, friend. It will not be your power. It will not be your family. God bless them. It will not be your name. It will not be anything else. These guys are your brothers. You'll see them in heaven. Will you have that to lean on at the moment? If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you believe he died on the cross for your sins, he guarantees you to be with you in that nanosecond. They fainted. You know, that's what happens. You bleed out very obviously, rapidly. And the moment the darkness began to come in from the outer part of your eye, the light, the light of the Lord's face began to come into view. And that is what awaits all of us. That glory divine, that comfort, that place that should we go this way or any other way, to live as Christ, to die as gain. Amen. I hope you know that. Father, we thank you for such an amazing guarantee. I know that for many of us, I'm in that group that I've got car insurance, I've got some other kind of insurance. And it's like, okay, well, I have insurance. And we drive away. Complete trust in AAA. But what about our souls? hey, our car may be covered, but what about our soul? I thank you, God, for the true believer in this room today. We rejoice in the fact it is well with my soul. But friend, maybe you're here today and you're not sure. I'm going to ask you right now to do something. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'll be very blunt with you. I'm going to tell you up front. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand with this invitation. And then while a song is played, I'm going to ask you to come and meet me up front here. I will not embarrass you. I will not call upon you. Don't worry about that. But here, you know what? If these brothers of ours, without protest, would get their heads cut off for Jesus, I think if you're serious about accepting Christ today, I think you can walk the walk all the way down to the front, not to be beheaded, but to be hugged. Right now in this room, what are you living for? If it's anything other than Jesus Christ, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you want to change that today and trust him who died on the cross for your sins, while we play this song, why don't you just come up forward and come right down to the foot of these stairs, and you come quickly. Imagine that. You come quickly before the end of this service. You come right now as we sing this song. If God is speaking to you, you come up front and make your decision for Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that as they have come forward, Lord Jesus, we pray right now, dear God, that you would descend upon them as you have promised. Lord, they come trusting and believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, as we do, the household of faith. And God, we just pray now that you would set your Holy Spirit upon them, within them, as your word declares. And God, from this moment forward, they would mark this moment as having stood for you. Jesus, you said it, that if they would acknowledge you before men, you would acknowledge them before your Father, which is in heaven. And so, Father, we pray right now that from this moment forward, this day of not only being born again, born from above, but God, we praise you that your Holy Spirit has touched them to make this decision. So we now as a church pray for them. Lord, keep them. Watch over them. God, cause them to shun evil and to cling to that which is good and to have and to feed that amazing appetite that is going to now begin within them to read the Bible, to know the Lord, to hear your voice, to see things in life now all different through Jesus. Father, we commit them into your hands. And Lord, it is incumbent now upon this church to love them. We commit them into your hands in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you, like Paul, have joy in all of life's circumstances and you'll have a sincere desire to spread the gospel wherever you go. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, history gives us a lot of examples from which we can draw strength. And Pastor Jack's book of the month for November, it's called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. It's by William J. Federer. This historic link is just exactly what we need to help overcome the many challenges that we're facing here in America today. You see, the Pilgrims' fight for religious freedom, it's more than just a Thanksgiving story. It's a miraculous escape from religious oppression. The Pilgrim experience took place during a very dark and dangerous time in human history. And when you read about the Pilgrims' rescue from the Barbary pirates and how God provided for them even when near starvation, you're going to feel a new boldness to share your own faith. The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It by William J. Federer. It's sure to inspire you, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you visit our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.